Back on Midday with Trey and BK. Hey, coming up tomorrow, we have Andrew Santino. He's an up-and-coming stand-up comic, also an actor who stars in the new Showtime series, I'm Dying Up Here. That's tomorrow in the entire noon hour. He's at Cap City Comedy Club this weekend. We also have a couple of passes to give away for the Saturday show for that, so make sure to stay tuned in.
Nice, no doubt about it. We will shoot the bull in our next segment. We'll talk some more Bob Stoops, of course, the groundbreaking news in the world of college football. Bob Stoops, after 18 years, no longer the coach of Oklahoma. Lincoln Riley, the 33-year-old offensive coordinator, will take over. The Lincoln Riley era begins up in Norman. Stoops was pretty much there my whole life. I mean, I'm 23. Stoops was there 18 years. He's the only Oklahoma I remember. It is going to be weird not seeing him on the sideline in October. But right now, of course, the big story of the world yesterday, the NBA Finals Game 3 going to the Golden State Warriors, 118-113 over the Cleveland Cavaliers. They take a commanding 3-0 series lead. And joining us right now on the Bob Steak and Chop House Hotline, he is the host of Warriors Wrap Up and NBA This Week on 95.7 The Game out by the Bay Area. He's also part of the Sal and Steiny podcast. And according to his Twitter account, he's a lover of long iron, so a golf player as well. He is Matt Steinmetz. Follow him on Twitter at SteinmetzNBA. Matt, how you doing this morning? Thanks for joining us.
No problem. Doing well. How are you guys?
Doing well. Doing very well. And what can we say? Let's start with last night's game, and then we'll get your overall thoughts on the first three games of this NBA Finals. But, man, it looked for all the world that Cleveland was finally going to steal a game in this series, going to get back on track and maybe make this thing interesting for you guys a little bit by the Bay. But sure enough, down the stretch, the 11-0 run to close the game, the dominance of Kevin Durant. What's what impressed you the most from last night's win for Golden State?
Well, I think probably Durant the entire series. The more you think about it, the more you think that three-pointer with 45 seconds to go that put the Warriors up one, that's, I think, up until now his signature moment in the NBA, especially if the Warriors go on to win this series, just because it was a monster shot in the series at a big game three where they had a win. And the gravy was that was over LeBron James. And you know how it works these days. There are just signature moments that are captured, and that one's going to be the one that they likely show about Kevin Durant for a long time.
Matt, there's been lots of talk that KD this summer is going to take a discounted deal on his next contract, which will allow the core of this Warriors team to remain together. Do you expect that to be the case?
I think they're going to find a way to keep the core together, and I mean their four big players: Curry, Durant, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. Iguodala right now, I think, is the biggest question mark, although all indications are that everybody's going to try to figure something out here so that they can obviously keep Curry, Durant, and Iguodala. Livingston's also another bit of a question mark. I just know that Kevin Durant is gonna figure out a way to make it work so that nobody else really has to sacrifice all that much. You know, the thing about Iguodala, he's in an interest. Durant's going to be back. It's just a question at the number. And Curry's going to be back. It's just a question at the number. And whether they can figure something out internally to take care of everybody. They've done a great job of managing their cap. So I think what's really going to happen is we're going to see how much players really want to stay there rather than making more money. And the reason I'm talking about Iguodala is because it's going to be probably his last contract in the NBA. So if he can go get more somewhere else, would he go? And we don't know the answer to that yet.
Is this, Matt, is this just the beginning of this era? I mean, my goodness, the Golden State Warriors are one win away from being the first team in NBA history to go 16-0 in a playoff run, sweeping everybody, the faux, which we have yet to ever see. But it seems like, look, this is the first year these guys have been together. I mean, since all four players have been on the floor, you know, with Klay, Draymond, KD, and Steph, they haven't lost a game since Super Bowl weekend, pretty much. They're 30-1 in their last 31 games. I mean, is this just the beginning of what could be a really, really special dynasty out by the Bay?
I mean, it certainly looks like that. Now, a lot of stuff can happen. I mean, you never know, and you never assume that you're going to be rolling for, you know, more than a few years in the NBA. But the thing that they've done is, you know, they have four phenomenal players, but no, they don't just have four phenomenal players. They have four phenomenal players all in their prime. You know, usually when we've seen a team of superstars, whether it's, you know, the Lakers with Magic, Worthy, and Kareem, I mean, there was like a transition there of sorts from a great player or two to another great player or two, and maybe there'd been some overlap, but the Warriors have four guys in their prime, and that's actually something I've spent a lot of time thinking about. How's this thing going to come apart? How's this thing going to eventually end? And I'm not sure that it will for a while for a couple reasons. One is you're going to have to I don't think anybody's really been close to him at this point, so I think the only way somebody's going to get him in the immediate future is to form another quote-unquote super team. And, you know, I used to think that if Chris Paul went to San Antonio, now we might have a ball game. But you know what? I think it's going to take Chris Paul and somebody else to go to San Antonio to challenge the Warriors. So what I think is very possible is for the next two or three years, the Warriors essentially are there every year. I don't know if they're going to win it every year, but they're going to be there every year. And then will a Milwaukee, will a Minnesota, will a Philly, will some young team with some real good young talent emerge so that in two or three years, as the Warriors are at their or coming off their prime a little bit, there's another team rising? Maybe that's the way it'll first start to come apart.
Oh, that's got to feel good for you guys out there, no doubt about it. Speaking with Matt Steinmetz, host of Warriors Wrap Up and NBA This Week, I want to get to the coach a little bit, Steve Kerr, who of course missed most of this postseason run, dealing with complications from the many back surgeries that he had. But I think last night was a prime example of how important coaching is in the NBA, which is the flawless execution of the Dubs down the stretch versus Cleveland finishing the game 0-for-8, not being able to score a point in the last 3 minutes. I was one of those guys, Matt. I'll be honest. I was shocked when Mark Jackson was fired a couple years ago after one of the most successful seasons in Warriors franchise history, or at least recent franchise history. How much does Steve Kerr mean to this team, and especially with having him on the bench, what kind of impact has he made on Golden State over the years?
Well, I think the big thing is that he's been a big face of the franchise, and the Warriors feel that he's a much better face to the franchise than Mark Jackson. Mark Jackson had a lot of trouble managing up, as they say. He didn't win any fans in terms of ownership, in terms of the front office, for a variety of reasons. And then, but the other thing that I thought that I got to give the Warriors credit for is Mark Jackson coached for 3 years. He had absolutely no experience. And when he was let go, the Warriors essentially said, you know, we need to take the next step. And what they ended up doing was hiring another coach with absolutely no experience. And so a lot of people out here were scratching their head saying, wait a minute, why, you know, sure, bring in Pat Riley or bring in a coach who's been around for a while. Why go from Mark Jackson to Steve Kerr? But I think that obviously it's paid off, and this guy is Steve Kerr is somebody that I've never heard a bad word about in when I've talked to anybody in and around the NBA, not one bad word. He's universally well liked and respected. He's a very important part of this organization.
Matt, assuming that Kevin Durant does what he says you're going to do, same with Steph Curry, this core of four guys does stay together, it feels like this is just an impending dynasty and one that may not lose an NBA championship for the next 3 to 4 years. Are there any factors that maybe we're not thinking of that could cause something otherwise to happen in terms of another team being able to dethrone these guys? I mean, they just feel like a juggernaut. When the second best team in this league isn't even close to them in the finals, I have a hard time seeing how anybody else is going to come close in the next few years either.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of with you. And it's not just it's not because I want the Warriors to win four in a row. I mean, I'm on the post game show, but I like competition myself, and I like great basketball. I think there's a couple things. One is, you know, the Warriors just lost their assistant general manager, Travis Schlenk. He became the general manager of the Atlanta Hawks, and I would say that Travis Schlenk was the most underrated behind the scenes person, I would argue maybe in the NBA. He did all the Warriors heavy lifting regarding scouting and watching games. He's a grinder. He was on the road all the time. And when you look at Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and at Steph Curry and even Harrison Barnes, even though he's not here anymore, turned into a solid player at number seven, they lose him. So there's a piece of their front office that's going away, a very important piece. And they're also in the process of elevating a son, Kirk Lacob, he's already in the front office, but with Travis gone, Joe Lacob's son will take a bigger role. Larry Harris, who used to be in Milwaukee, will take a bigger role. My point is there's going to be some change up front. And somebody who is largely responsible for a lot of their good draft work is now gone. So that's one thing. The other thing is the Warriors have been unbelievably fortunate the last 3 years just to avoid injury. I mean, Steph Curry has quietly put together 3 or 4 Iron Man-type years. Klay Thompson doesn't get hurt. Draymond Green doesn't get hurt. They've all played complete seasons the last 3. Durant missed 19 games this year, but you know, he's got a track record of not exactly being an Iron Man, but he's going to be there 60 times a year plus. So, you know, you never want to wish injury, but they have had very good fortune in that regard. And then I guess lastly, what also is going to happen with the Warriors, it's going to happen, if they're going to pay 4 guys an inordinate amount of money, they are not going to be able to play their, let's say, 5 through 8 or 9 guys a lot of money. And so the only way they're going to be able to keep this thing going, I think, is if every year they change the supporting cast, which is fine, except 1 year you might not strike gold. And what I mean by that is, you know, they may lose Livingston. They probably are going to lose McGee and Ian Clark. And now you say, 2 guys, you know, whatever, they're 7 through 9, but they're gone and they're going to have to be replaced. And David West probably isn't coming back because he'll probably retire after this. So they're going to have to constantly, I think, be replacing their role players, which sometimes is harder than you think it is.
Speaking with Matt Steinmetz, host of Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7 The Game out by the Bay. And Matt, I want to ask you this. I want to exclude Kevin Durant from this question because this will be the second part of the question. But for the first part, you know, you've been around the team. Of course, you're in the city. You've been around the fans a lot. What's the mood been of the team, of course, after what happened last year, the 3-1 series? What's the mood of the team been? Has it been solely focused on getting back to Cleveland and wanting to play the Cavs once again? And what's the confidence level been with the fan base out in Golden State? I mean, going into this series, did they just know they were going to take care of business? Was there any fear going up against Cleveland after what happened last year? Was there any fear of the third quarter of Game 1 before the Kawhi Leonard injury in the Western Conference Finals? Or has this been business as usual for the team and the fans out in Golden State?
Well, it depends which Warrior fan you're talking about, because there's about 2 or 3 different kinds. The first kind is someone who's around my age, about 50-ish, and they saw the 12-year playoff drought. They saw 4 straight seasons, 1 year of 20 wins or around 20 wins. So this is a franchise that, if you take a look back 20 to 30 years, has had very little success. In fact, maybe less success than just about any other team in the NBA over that period of time. So there's a lot of let's say grown-ups and mature adults that are savoring every minute of this. They realize it doesn't come around a lot. In fact, it probably only comes around once a lifetime if you're lucky. They remember all the bad things that happened to this franchise, and they are savoring it to no end. Then there's a group of younger Warrior fans, I would say, 25-ish, maybe, you know, in that area. And they're not quite hardcore fans because they're out in the Bay Area. They have moved out here in the Bay Area and are kind of transplants, but they have a lot of disposable income, so they've latched on to the Warriors. But they think this is the way it is, and they think this is the way it's always going to be, and they think that Cleveland stinks and that every other team stinks and that the Warriors are going to be doing this forever. And I think that a portion of the Warriors fan base has become a little bit entitled already, especially their younger fan base. So I think that's the way I would describe it. There's a young group of Warrior fans here that are they're enjoying it, but not in as a reserved of way as, you know, maybe people a little bit older, let's put it that way.
Yeah, good to know there's some actual Warriors diehards out there, not just some kids wearing shooting sleeves and those leggings shooting 50-foot threes every time they step on the floor, huh? All right, I want to ask you about Kevin Durant. I excluded him from that last question, but Kevin Durant has been the villain of the NBA. I don't know, guys like that stay off of social media. They don't care what anybody else thinks. You know, Kevin Durant has even said that in some of his post-game interviews throughout the course of this playoffs. But what's been the mindset around Kevin Durant this year? Of course, here in Austin, Texas, Kevin Durant went to UT. A lot of people still show love and support for him. But seemingly outside of Austin in the Bay Area, he's been one of the bigger villains in the league this year. How has KD handled that? And really, how has he been able to just dominate this postseason the way he has?
I think there's a couple things going on. I think that in the wake of coming to the Warriors, obviously he took a lot of heat. And I think it really bothered him, and he was really sensitive about it. And that lasted into the regular season, maybe into October, November. And then I think he realized at some point that he was helpless to change it or to make people feel differently. And I felt like at some point, a little before midseason, he just became at peace with it, and he insulated himself from it all by just throwing himself into the Golden State Warriors. And it was almost like Durant was in the middle and everybody formed a circle around him to protect him a little bit. You know, when he came to the Warriors, the first 2 months of the season, Steph Curry basically tried to play a traditional point guard role, and they wanted to get Durant involved very early, and they did, and they made him comfortable. And all that kind of thing. So I think, obviously, he's loved out here in the Bay Area. How he's going to be perceived, you know, over time, yeah, he's taken heat for joining the Warriors, and I think that'll always be a little bit of an undertone. But the ring is going to supersede that. And I think, more importantly, the way he's played in the finals is kind of going to wipe that away. You know, being a little long-winded here, but the one thing about the Warriors entering this year after blowing it 3-1 last year is they knew that they weren't going to be able to do anything during the regular season or even the first couple rounds of the playoffs to make up for that disappointment and for losing that series. And they know they won 73 games, but everybody was laughing at them for losing the 3-1 lead. They knew that. They knew they couldn't silence the critics on opening night. So it was almost like all season long they were just understated about everything. And when the finals came around, they all looked at each other and just knew that this was the time when everybody had been waiting for. And it shows to me that this is something this team's been thinking about for a year, not just since they knew they were going to play the Cavs in the finals again.
No doubt, exercising some demons. All right, real quick, Matt, I'll let you go with this. Game 4 tomorrow night in Cleveland. Will there be a Game 5, or do the Warriors close out tomorrow? What do you think?
Man, I've been shaky on my postseason predictions this year, to tell you the truth. But the easy thing is to say that Cleveland's going to lay down. I mean, I refuse to believe that. I think Cleveland's going to come out and play a game very similar to last night, and I think it's going to be fairly close, and it's going to be one team or the other. I guess what I'm saying is I don't know, but I think the game's going to be competitive, and it's going to come down to a similar feel as last night.
There we go. Hey, Matt, I can't blame you for not picking 16-0 on your postseason predictions. I don't think you were in the minority there with that prediction.
You know, what's funny is I just had it. I had the Warriors winning 4 series in 5 games. I had them 4-1, 4-1, 4-1, 4-1. And you wouldn't believe how many people out here are like, you're an idiot, man. You are just so dumb. I mean, it's only up by a game, a series.
Hey, it's your show, man. You can you don't have to listen to that. Come on.
That's true.
All right, Matt. Hey, we really appreciate the time, man. Thanks a lot. And hopefully we can do this at some point over the course of the years. But thank you so much for your time. And, you know, best of luck to your fanhood, man. Best of luck to your Warriors tomorrow night.
Thank you very much. Appreciate being on the show.
Thanks, Matt.
No doubt. Matt Steinmetz, host of Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7 FM, The Game, out in Oakland and San Francisco by the Bay. Lifelong Warriors fan, and kudos to like the 10 real Warriors fans out there who actually get to enjoy this after decades of trash. Let's be honest, Matt was right. That's what the Warriors were for a long time. Yeah, it sucks that they're this good now, but those guys deserve it. Screw the shooting sleeves. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, it'll be Shooting the Bull. We'll have some fun here. You're listening to Midday with Trey and BK right here on the Horn.
They don't make them like this anymore. I ask because I'm not sure.
You heard of this before, Trey?
No, I haven't.
Really?
It's back on Midday with Trey and BK. Is this more Kanye?
This is. This is Stronger off of his Graduation album, which I believe came out when I was in 2007, Zach? You got a little fact check on there on Spotify, does it say?
Not on the screen I'm looking at right this second in this computer, so was, slow I probably won't get to it.
It was sometime when I was around middle school age, and rap music when you were in middle school was just the greatest thing ever. This is one of my favorite albums of all
especially
time.
Especially for suburban white kids.
Especially, I grew up in the streets, man. Richardson, Texas, that's the hood, dude.
Suburban white kid.
Look at me. Do I look suburban or white to you?
Yes, the golf shirt, the Nike hat, the color of your skin. Yes, you look like a suburban white kid right now.
I think my mom drove a Suburban. Does that also does that also add to the suburban whiteness?
That and the minivan. Those both add to the suburban whiteness. Specs text line is 337-3776. Before we get to Shooting the Bull, 311 Chris asks if we have any good Lakeway lunch spot recommendations. The only place I know of in Lakeway that serves lunch is Santa Catarina. If anybody else has a recommendation, please dole that out on the Specs text line. We're happy to read it off.
Yeah, also any lunch recommendations because I'm getting pretty hungry. I think I'm going to treat myself today, so I need to find a new spot around the city. I'm always looking for new spots. Now that I'm out of West Campus, which I have been for a year, so at some point I need to stop using that excuse and go eat some good restaurants. But I'm down to try something new. So,
did you ever go to Fricano's when you lived in West Campus?
I did. I went to Fricano's a lot.
Oh, I love that place.
I didn't love it as much as everybody else did. I had one bad experience, and I think that kind of detracted me for a few months, but it is pretty damn good, dude.
As far as something that is close to you, because you live around the Arboretum now, there's a place called Modern Market that's pretty good. You should check that out.
It's right next to where I live. It sounds too healthy. The first text I get, I mean, this is what happens when I ask questions like this. McDonald's and Torchy's. You know, I set myself up for that. That's the kind of food that I eat. But no, I've eaten at both of those places before, guys.
I'm going to bite my tongue on Torchy's, and we'll just leave that.
Whoa, hold on.
At that.
Not a Torchy's fan?
Dude. Bob Stoops would literally take over at Iowa when Ferentz retires, says one texter. Another one says, as long as Kim Jong-un's face is on the backside of that romper, no weight, no rompers. Oh, the shame.
Oh, the shame. Absolutely right. Yeah, I don't think Bob Stoops is going to come out of retirement for Iowa. I'm thinking like Notre Dame or Florida. You know, a good job, not Iowa.
Although the amount of pressure or lack thereof in Iowa City, considering how long Ferentz, and I know Iowa has been better these last couple of years, Ferentz underperformed for a number of seasons, especially since he was the hot commodity among NFL teams and trying to woo him away from Iowa to come coach the Cleveland Browns or whoever else. Bob, he was a Hayden Fry disciple, if I'm not mistaken, at Iowa. He and Ferentz, I believe, coached together for a time, so maybe he would consider something like that. It would be lower pressure. You're in the Big Ten, and I know the Big Ten was up last year, but overall, the competition level in the Big Ten, it doesn't seem that extreme. Definitely a lower pressure cooker than if you're in South Bend at Notre Dame. My gosh, Brian Kelly had one bad year last year, and people wanted him fired.
Right? Yeah, it's crazy.
Those seasons happen
four
from time to time.
4-8 is terrible, especially when you start the year in the top 10, but dude, Brian Kelly has been much more successful than the last three or four coaches, you know, like a Ty Willingham and Charlie Weiss.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Brian Kelly's doing a little bit better than those guys have.
Man, that's just one of those seasons that goes sideways, too, and I know that Notre Dame fans say that's still unacceptable. You have to beat certain teams that they were losing to last year. There are just some years that go sideways, and you have to give a guy with the track record of success a little bit of a pass.
Yeah, and he'll get the pass. I think he's fine. I think people realize that he's doing all right. But there's a good point made about Bob Stoops. His dad, his old man, died of a heart attack.
At 54.
Right. Which is
on
the
sideline.
On the sideline, which is 2 years younger than Bob Stoops. So someone texted me and said, look, maybe fear of that, right? The health issue with his family. He's got young kids. Kids are, you know, about to graduate, but he's got kids and a wife. Maybe this is a good time for him. After winning the Sugar Bowl, he realizes, hey, this is a time for me to end my career. I've made enough money. I've accomplished everything I've wanted to accomplish. This is it. But I'm not convinced, man. If the right job comes up, not Iowa, regardless of the ties. I'm talking big-time job where he gets paid big-time money at a big-time program. I wouldn't be too surprised if Bob Stoops is back in a couple of years.
You may be right about that. He was facing a lot of pressure in Norman these last few years, as well as they were still doing, making the college football playoff and whatnot. There were a lot of people that wanted to see him get over that ultimate hump. You saw it with Mack Brown here in Austin before he was finally able to do so in that 2005 season. You reach a certain level and you maintain a certain level, people still want to see you go higher.
That's true.
And all the conference championships and all the BCS bowl appearances ended up not being enough for a lot of Sooners
fans.
Well,
I will ask you this, Trey. I posed this question because Bucky was gone, so it was Ian and I this morning on the show. Would you take, and I know the last 7 years of Texas makes it sound like a no-brainer, but would you take that from Tom Herman, what Bob Stoops just did? Like 18 years. You win a national championship pretty early, but you win a championship. You dominate the Big 12 Conference, but you're always left wanting more. Like, is that good enough for a big-time program like OU in Texas? Because you're right. There's a lot of Sooners fans over the last couple years who are ready to move on. Like, people think Bob Stoops was holding Oklahoma back. Now they've got the right guy to push the program forward. Do you think you, as a Texas fan, would take that type of run here from Tom Herman?
If the championship was early in the era, and considering their overall lack of postseason success, much less actually winning the big game, no, I don't think I would want to accept that after 18 years.
Okay.
Because
yeah.
you do have to find a way to break on through into that next level.
Because I was shocked by OU fans who just wanted Stoops gone the last couple years. I mean, they went to the playoff a couple years ago. They won a Sugar Bowl last year. But you make a good point. It leaves you wanting more. And when you keep getting to the same spot year after year after year, now, hell, it's a pretty damn good spot. I mean, Texas fans would take a Big 12 championship right now and a BCS Bowl. But when you keep getting there every year, you're left wanting more. And now that I'm thinking about it, yeah, maybe it wasn't enough.
Well, here's a big part of the problem also for a lot of Sooners fans is they felt that Bob was protecting Mike and forcing other heads to roll in the process. Guys who didn't necessarily deserve the lion's share of the blame for things not exactly going well at various points in seasons. Mike still has a job despite the fact that his defense, especially a couple years ago, just flat out sucked.
Yeah. That's a good point. No, a lot of people have been pretty against Stoops having another Stoops on the staff.
And a lot of people are estimating that the timing of this right now was done to preserve Mike's job as DC for at least another year.
Interesting.
Because
thought.
It's that much more difficult to replace a coordinator once you're in early June versus if this happened going into spring ball.
Yeah, it's an interesting year. And spinning this to the Texas side of things, Trey, we should save this. We should do this next
segment. Shoot the bull.
Let's shoot the bull.
Shooting the bull.
Yeah, we can't forget shooting the bull, man. This is the greatest segment of the show. But we'll get back to Bob Stoops. We'll talk what it means for Texas, because, look, I think the Big 12 race might have opened up a whole hell of a lot more than it was prior to yesterday's news with Bob Stoops. All right, shooting the bull. We have some fun, some non-sports stories, go a little bit off the rails each day around this time. Trey, we'll start it off with you, man. I think you're done looking at rompers for now. You got anything good for me?
Yeah, first thing today, the Pittsburgh media is squashing the notion that Nashville is a hockey town. Of course, the Predators have figured out a way to even their series up with the Pens. It's tied at 2-2 after games 3 and 4 were played in Nashville. And people are making the claim that, hey, look, even though this is Nashville, even though this is the South, this is a hockey town. And a lot of Pittsburgh people are saying, look, just because you root for one Stanley Cup Finals team, it doesn't make you a hockey town. They go as far as saying that they believe that a lot of the noise that's being made in the arena where Nashville plays is piped in. That it's background noise that's being played over the speakers.
They're going Georgia Dome.
On top of what the people who are in the stands are actually providing.
Dude, to hell with that. What's with reporters, man, making these jabs? You got Mike Wise calling people out for smoking weed in the locker room, calling out the Cavaliers for smelling reefer. Now this dude, Jeff Versila, talking about Nashville and being a trash hockey town. Stay in your lane, boys. Are you serious?
I have no problem with the latter, especially if that's true.
Because if it is true, yeah, it's not good. It's a problem. It's illegal.
That's synthetic, much like with synthetic marijuana, which I have a problem with people smoking because it causes huge mental issues. I have a problem with synthetic noise being made in what is supposed to be a natural environment.
You don't like that K2 stuff that they're giving all the homeless dudes downtown Austin that was killing them off?
No, dude, that's the sort of thing that that caused, who was the Ole Miss linebacker a couple years ago, jumped out of a hotel room window. He had just Kim Dichie, yeah. He had smoked the K2 before he did that. Dude, it causes people to have psychotic breaks. You need to be very careful about that. And it also causes like serious kidney failure as well. That is a very bad thing that's out on the market. And as far as I know, I think it's still legal too.
All those side effects come in from pumping crowd noise into Bridgestone Arena in Nashville.
Exactly.
That is wild. And Nashville's been fun as hell. Game 5 is tonight. It's back in Pittsburgh. That's a 2-2 series in the Stanley Cup. But Nashville, every game, they've got like a stud country singer out singing the national anthem. They've got the Titans involved, waving the towel. It's fun. Just have fun, Jeff. Who cares if it's their one playoff run? They've never been this far. Let them soak up the moment. The damn Penguins have won 4 cups already, including last year. Let somebody else at least pretend to have some fun. Come on.
Yeah, and speaking of that contrived music style that is Nashville country music, if there was a genre of music that's all about piping in what's really being played versus the person on stage who's acting like they're playing something, it is Nashville-level country music. That's why it's not difficult to believe that the Preds are doing that, too.
Well played. Well played right there. All right, so we talked about the story a couple of days ago, Trey. Derek Fisher, former NBA player, former NBA coach, during his career, while he was coaching, I guess, during Matt Barnes' playing career, Derek Fisher had an affair with Matt Barnes' at the time wife. Now, they've been divorced, and recently, earlier this week, Derek Fisher got in a DUI car crash, single car crash, with Matt Barnes' ex-wife.
Apparently, this is incredible.
Apparently, that car that Derek Fisher wrecked was registered to Matt Barnes, who has already once driven across the country to beat the bleep out of Derek Fisher, to use his exact words. 2015 Cadillac Escalade at the 101 freeway in L.A. while driving home with his now girlfriend, Derek Fisher's girlfriend, Max Barnes' ex-wife. So what do you think is going to happen here? You think Barnes is about to go round two on Derek Fisher's ass for messing up his Escalade?
Nah, dude, that is just karma coming back to kick Derek Fisher's ass again. Max Barnes doesn't have to do anything. Karma took over there.
He deserves a few more ass beatings for him flailing on a bunch of teams in the NBA and all the punk stuff Derek Fisher did. I can't stand him. Hey, you got one?
I got one more here. This happened a couple days ago now, but I did want to get to it because it speaks to a larger overall issue. Did you see what happened between comedian Jerry Seinfeld and Kesha, the musician Kesha?
She was interviewing him. Those two in the same.
I'm sure it was for some sort of E! Show or some sort of red carpet show. She was interviewing him, and at the end of the interview, she asked for a hug. Now, I'm assuming that Jerry Seinfeld has never met Kesha before. She asks for the hug. Jerry Seinfeld just kind of backs off and is like, no, I don't want a hug from you. You're a total stranger. I'm sorry. I know this is on camera. I don't care. I have no issues with Jerry Seinfeld declining a hug from a total stranger. If you are total strangers with somebody and you're trying to hug them, stay in your lane, fool.
Stay in your lane. Big Kesha. What has she done? Where the hell has she been? Drop the song in forever.
Other than spelling her name with a dollar sign at the start of her career, which is so stupid. Look, it's not socially acceptable to touch, much less hug, total strangers. Respect personal space, Kesha.
Hey, tip of the cap to Jerry Seinfeld. Get out of here, Kesha. Come on, you ain't nothing. You ain't bleep. It's also a National Best Friends Day, so hey, Trey, you're my best friend, man.
Cool.
National Name Your Poison Day and National Oopsie Daisy Day.
What?
I don't know. Well,
name your poison?
Name
is that
your
like a facetiously
poison.
Said sort
what
of deal?
Says, I mean, like, this is the purge. Is today the purge? You can just poison anybody and get away with it?
No,
so,
I think
as
it's
long
more,
as you make a name?
I think it's more about the vice. What is your vice? If you had one vice, what would it be?
What does that mean? What is vice?
If you had something that is not considered to be the most healthy thing for you that you like indulging in.
What, like fast food?
Fast food, alcohol, drugs, whatever.
Yep. Yep.
All of those things.
Yep. I don't want to lose my job here. We got the uppers listening. I got to be careful.
Okay.
All right, we got a break. I want to get yours, though, on the other side. It's not going to be wearing rompers, especially after next week. I can tell you that. When we come back, though, we will jump back into this Bob Stoops conversation, and we'll talk about what it means for the future of Tom Herman in this Texas football program. Don't go anywhere. One more segment to go. You're listening to Midday with Trey and BK right here on the Horn.
Back on Midday with Trey and BK. Is this Kanye?
I don't think this is Kanye.
It's Hank Williams Jr., guys.
He's back.
The Big Uglies.
He's
the
back.
Big Uglies paid me off to play this.
Monday Night Football. He's
I got to take the money where I get it.
We love the Big Uglies, despite the fact that BK just hit the eject button on producing the Big Uglies on Saturday mornings.
Don't tell him that.
Oh, we're raising the curtain up right now.
I'm taking the hiatus, bro.
Casey came in. He was so upset with you because you are the lucky individual in this entire building who has received so many invites to go hang out with these guys, with Longhorn legends, to boil crawfish and drink beer and hang out around the lake or out at Moon Tower, and you keep declining. What the hell, man?
I got a life, man.
Your life consists of watching four televisions
at
your apartment.
Come on, man. Weekends. Those are the days. Those are the days I got to go do some things. No. If I'm still invited at some point, I got to go. Those guys are trying to kill me, man. I feel like once you get out there, you got to start with one case. Or you got to start with a 24. That's the start. I was like, dude, I handle my own pretty well. I could handle a case.
Could you?
Over the course of a day. Absolutely. Okay. But that's the start. Like, that's the start. Like, there's going to be liquor on the side, too. And, like, these guys are trying to kill me. Like, I was like, dude, I got a guest bed. You could just crash in until the next day. I was like, do I really want to do that? Don't want to drink myself to death? Come on, man.
You have no idea how those guys would mess with you also if you did happen to pass out.
Oh, I know.
To where you were.
Make sure the shoes are off. They can't mess with me if the shoes are off. That's the rule, right? That's the party rule. Not with those cats.
Look, there's unwritten rules in baseball. There's no unwritten rules when it comes to messing with somebody who's passed out drunk.
Yeah, well, if I can drink with those dudes, I weigh about 150 pounds less than they do. Those guys are twice my size, man. I feel like I could drink with anybody. All right, got
Big Ugly Outdoors real quick. Is a great show on Saturday mornings. Please do make sure to check it out. And if you're not awake at 6 o'clock, then check out the podcast because they do get the podcast every week.
It is hilarious. By the way, somebody does say, BK, you're from Richardson. I grew up there. Represent. There you go. Nice. J.J. Pierce High School, if you're familiar with that. You did say something, though, subtly about Torchy's Tacos, Trey.
Yeah.
That you're not bought in. You're not bought in.
I think that a lot of people are duped by the overall product, by the fact that the queso is really good.
Because there's been a couple of techs out there that agree with you on that.
I think there are better tacos to be had in Austin. Now, look, Torchy's has done a great job of marketing itself and getting the word out on Torchy's. I mean, the fact that Barack Obama visited Torchy's when he came to South By a year and a half ago probably didn't hurt the overall Torchy's cause, but I think that there are a lot of good tacos to be had in this town that maybe cost a little bit less, too.
Well, give me some of your favorite tacos. Now that we're talking about this, I need a couple joints, because I'm a huge Torchy's Tacos fan. Now, I do think there's better tacos to be had, no doubt about it, but I think Torchy's is unbelievable. I would eat that every day if I could.
If you're going to go mainstream like that here in this town, then I suggest Taco Deli for the breakfast and the lunch tacos as well. They have locations all over now. They have one just a couple minutes away from our studio here in Westlake. They also have one north on Burnett and Mopac, another one that's off of Burnett just south of Anderson Lane, and then one on 42nd and Lamar, the original location, which I used to go to 10, 15 years ago off Barton Skyway, is a really good location too. They've also renovated that. Look, there's a lot of good taco options in this town. I don't have all the answers with that because I tend to go with the easy route for the sake of my family. My daughter loves Taco Deli. My wife loves Taco Deli as well.
There you go.
That's where we tend to go. But there's plenty of good. There's a great taco truck, as a matter of fact, on South First, just north of Oltorf. It's in a parking lot where I believe it's Summer Moon Coffee Shop. That is the coffee place that's right there. But there's a little taco trailer that apparently serves amazing tacos out of that space.
Yeah, they're getting some good text there. But this taco of the month, the Rebel Yell from Torchy's, grilled shrimp on a bed of cooked cabbage slaw. That's you. With chopped bacon, grilled pineapple, jack cheese, guajillo? Guajillo? And I don't know how to pronounce that word. And garlic fried onion straws, barbecue sauce, cilantro, and a drizzle of chipotle ranch served on flour tortilla. Oh, man, that sounds so good. Like
that
Torchy's.
That does not sound bad. Look, I'm sure Torchy's has some decent products. It's just my experience of eating the tacos from there. The queso was really good, but eating the tacos from there, I wasn't blown away like I was led to believe. Like so many people now, I'll equate it to movies. Have you seen the movie Napoleon Dynamite?
I have seen that one, believe it or not.
So many people have told me Napoleon Dynamite is this amazing comedy. It's one of the top five comedies ever made. Well, I can't ever go see Napoleon Dynamite now for a couple of reasons. One, it's been overhyped to me too much. Two, people have let me know that there's not a single cuss word in that movie. I like cussing in my comedy, so I'm not going to enjoy Napoleon Dynamite as much as a lot of people claim I will.
PG movie, so no cussing. Over overrated.
That's like a brag point for people that love Napoleon Dynamite. And I know the ticket in Dallas plays Napoleon Dynamite drops all the time.
Yeah.
It's just not going to be a movie for me. I had heard so many great things about Torchy's that I was underwhelmed the couple times that I ate there before I decided to move on in my taco enjoyment.
Yeah, there's some good stuff out there. Napoleon Dynamite, no, that's not one you need to be watching.
I actually like making my own tacos, literally from scratch, the tortillas, all, you know,
whoa.
I'm not butchering the animal or anything, but all the meat.
You make it from scratch?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow. I use like the frozen fajita stuff every once in a while, and the pre-made tortillas taste pretty good.
Sure.
All right. Let's get to this. We got a couple minutes left in the show. Of course, the big news surrounding college football. Yes, game three of the NBA Finals, of course, was big. We've talked about that a lot. But Bob Stoops also calling it quits, retiring from Oklahoma after 18 years there. Really dominant 18 years. 10 Big 12 championships. Went to 4 national championships. Only won one of them, but won 190 games in 18 years. Look, despite losing a lot of players, which OU did, and Samaje Perine, Joe Mixon, Dede Westbrook, a lot off their defense, Baker Mayfield returns. But despite that, I think people thought OU was the heavy favorite to win the Big 12 going into this year. Now that you throw this sort of bombshell in there with Bob Stoops not being there, you've got a 33-year-old coach who, yes, Lincoln Riley's been there the last couple years as the OC, but it's not Bob Stoops. It's a different figure. Is OU, Trey, still the favorite to win the Big 12 this year?
I don't think so, and I had a hard time believing that they were the odds-on favorite going into next season as well, considering those offensive pieces that you lost. You saw what that offense was even without Dede Westbrook last year at the start of the season. They were an offense that struggled. Now, Houston may have hit them in the mouth that first game of the season, and also Ohio State was obviously a very good team. But this was a very different offense, and it was a different Baker Mayfield when he had Dede Westbrook to throw the ball to. A lot of Longhorn fans were surprised at how badly Westbrook ended up torching Texas in the Cotton Bowl in October. That happened the rest of the season. That's how good that guy was.
Yeah, he was a stud, and they do lose their two starting running backs. They lost a lot, but I don't know who else can overtake them. I don't think Texas is there yet. Oklahoma State always loses to OU, but that game isn't Stillwater this year.
And now that Gundy doesn't have to worry about Stoops anymore, that is definitely a team to watch. I think Texas could vie as well. It really depends on injury luck, especially in the trenches for the Longhorn squad.
I love that. Boy, that'll be a fun debate we'll have over the course of the next few weeks and throughout the season as well. All right, we're out of time, man. 2 hours does fly by. Keep the taco text coming. I'm going to get something from there. But we got to go. For the production wizard, the Greek freak, Zach Christo across the glass. From a man, the Sultan of Cynicism, the Vomit King, Trey Elling across the table. Go find your computer, brother. I'm BK. We'll be back to get it popping same time tomorrow. Until then, let bygones be bygones. You can go and get the hell on. You and your mama. We out of here.